146 here on a Thursday. Nick Baugh with you. Game time here on 1620 The Zone. 1620thezone.com. 1620 The Zone mobile app. Got about 15 minutes until we send it over back to the Omaha Baseball Village. Josh Peterson and Stephen M. Sipple going to have you covered for the duration of your afternoon. I'm sure those guys will get into some heated debates about God knows what. They argued for multiple hours about how many games should be on TV a couple years ago. So you never know what you're going to get with both those guys when they get together. It'll be fantastic. So make sure you keep it locked here on 1620 The Zone. It's been so interesting. It always is to me to pit the national perception of Nebraska football with the local perception. Because usually, locally, people get all Rodney Dangerfield and say, I don't get no respect. Nebraska don't get no respect. Right? Usually it's the local perception is higher than the national perception, right? It's the nationally people are like, I think this team's about 6-7 win team. Locally, it's like, man, you kidding me? This team's going to win the division. But this is a year where it feels kind of almost flipped. Where you look at Phil Steele and Athlon and almost every single major publication, it's almost a consensus sweep that Nebraska's pegged as a West Division champ. Yet locally, I don't get the sense that people are Husker fans are in, hey, man, West Division champs are bust. That's the mantra for the year. I don't know about that. But outside, I think there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, Nebraska's going to win the West, and if they don't, that'll feel like people will feel like Nebraska fell short of expectations. And I don't think that's the vibe amongst Nebraska fans. That's not to say Nebraska fans aren't feeling good or believe in Frost. I just don't think people are thinking that Nebraska is absolutely for sure going to win the West. And it's always interesting to pit the national or outside vibe versus the local vibe. For a team, for players, for so many years, I always felt like there were so many, the outsiders were higher on Taylor Martinez and Tommy Armstrong than locally how people were. It's just interesting. But so there's a part of me that goes, man, what is it about Nebraska that makes people go, yeah, that's the pick? Because again, I think you can say, all right, they got the best quarterback in the division and they got Scott Frost. That's my pick. But people around here know about the depth issues, the legal issues with Washington, the lack of proven playmakers on the perimeter. You got a defense that is certainly far from a finished product. So I think there's enough reasons for people to tap the brakes around here. So what is it? How could a team that's gone 4-8 for two straight years, went 4-8 last year, lose a 1,000-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard wide receiver, yet they're circled as the favorite to win those? What is it? You know what I think it really is? I think in some ways pegging Nebraska as the West Division favorite in multiple outlets, is a window into the level of respect people have nationally for Scott Frost. I tell you what, I think if Mike Riley were here, Phil Steele and Athlon, they ain't picking Nebraska. But when you got Frost and he's so widely respected, people going to raise the bar. And we do this all the time in other industries, in other parts of our life. It happens in Hollywood. If I know Tom Hanks is starring in a movie, I don't need to know about the script. I don't need to know about who's directing it, who else is in it. I'm like, Tom Hanks is in it. I think I'm setting the bar high. But if, you know, Vin Diesel's starring in a movie, I'm probably going to set the bar accordingly. So this happens. It happens in other industries in it all the time. You know, if I put a Drover steak in front of you, or I put a chili steak in front of you, you're going to set the bar accordingly. You are. So, point is, we raise and lower the bar based on the respect or reputation for what's in front of you. And I really think the whole Nebraska getting love to win the West is probably less about the roster or the actual team and more a vote of confidence for Scott Frost than anything else. I mean, it also has to do with Adrian Martinez, but I mean, let's be honest, outside of Adrian Martinez, what's exactly so attractive on paper about Nebraska right now? And again, just going off of paper, just looking at a roster, what you got coming back, there's not a ton. I mean, replacing a lot on the O-line, center spot still very much in flux. That unit was improved last year, but it's far from great. The running back room is very much in flux. So Zigbo out, Washington status, who knows if he's going to be on the team. You're going to be relying heavily on newcomers, the wide receivers. You lose Stanley Morgan, J.D. Spielman's back, but he's always kind of banged up. Wandell has the hype, but a lot of unproven dudes there. And then on the defensive side of the ball, it's largely the same cast of characters that yielded just okay results last year. I guess my point is, this roster on paper doesn't scream consensus West Division favorite. But Scott Frost, his track record, and the respect that he garners does. And when you combine that with a great elite quarterback like Martinez, who I think is the best quarterback in the conference, not just the division, the conference, you got yourself the offseason darling of the West. So I think that's it. I think in a lot of ways the vote for Nebraska is a vote for Frost. You want to know how respected Frost is? Nebraska went 4-8, lost their top two offensive weapons, and are picked to win the West. I mean, dang. That's a major respect. For Frost. Again, hear me in my heart. I'm not saying Nebraska could win the West. I'm not saying it's the craziest thing in the world to pick them to win the West. I have been a little taken aback, though, at how everyone's picking them to win the West. That I do think, whoa. Because to me, if there ever was a year to have a bunch of different teams kind of pegged, is it Wisconsin here, Iowa there, Nebraska here? I guess, yeah, you could say, listen, Northwestern's the reigning champs. They're my pick. I mean, I get it. All right, we're taking one more break, and then coming back for a quick wrap-up. We're taking this all the way to the top. Okay, I wanted to get into this. You know, there's a lot of question and wondering what should the Lakers do? Should they, you know, because right now they're working diligently to try to clear more cap space to try and go get another max guy. Should they do that, or should they stick with the money they have and just spread the money around? What should they do? And one of the guys that has been circled as a big target is obviously Kemba Walker. And it's hard. It's real easy to tell people to do something when you're not dealing with, you're the one that hasn't, you know, don't have the deal with the financial ramifications or something. And with Kemba, it's kind of like, okay, you better to stay with the franchise and be the man, the number one guy, and not win a title, or move to another franchise and be, you know, a part of a big three and win a championship. And to me, when you're talking about legacy and how you're remembered, it's all about winning. Period. Do you want to give yourself the best chance at winning a title, or do you want to be loved in Charlotte and rack up stats? You know what I mean? Look at Karl Malone, top five scorer of all time. Gets overlooked and forgotten quite a bit. When's the last time you had an in-depth Karl Malone discussion with your buddies? Another guy, perfect, Chris Bosh. You're telling me we'd view him higher and more favorably if he would have stayed in Toronto, continued to rack up stats, but never won a ring, instead went to Miami and won two? So I get it. I mean, you're talking about a lot of money leaving out. I mean, you're talking about, like, now I don't know if Charlotte's going to actually offer him the Supermax. I don't know. But if they do, I mean, you're talking about the difference between what LA could offer him and what Charlotte could offer him is like, you know, like $40, $50 million. And I mean, there gets to a point where it's like everyone's got a price, you know? You can go put me on the Mars and I'll play for that much money. But here's the thing. Don't kid yourself. Kemba Walker is largely irrelevant in the NBA right now. So my thing is to what you know, to Kemba, it's kind of like, all right, do you want to be filthy rich and irrelevant? Or do you want to be really rich and relevant? You know, what do you want? I mean, if he is it really worth staying in Charlotte and grinding to just to make the playoffs? Or do you want to go try and win titles in LA and team up with Anthony Davis and LeBron James? Gonna be interesting to see what happens. But man, he's talking about $40, $50 million. Boy. Woo. Goodness gracious. All right, that'll do it for us. Again, good stuff today. Mailbag was a blast. Danny Woodhead, great stuff with him. Coming up next, the Sports Play Conduct, Josh Peterson, Steve Sipple from the Omaha Baseball Village. Got you covered. We'll send it to them next.